He is risen. After all, that's why we've come today, right? Because He is risen. It's a great day. And so I pray and trust that you've had a good day. I've been praying for a long time that God would have a good day this day, in and amongst us. And so we have come today to celebrate. Jesus Christ is alive. The tomb is empty. He is risen. Before we go any further, let's pray. Almighty God, we thank You for this week. This whole week has reminded us of Your love, of Your grace, of Your mercy. Friday, we were reminded of the blood, oh, the precious blood of Jesus. We're reminded at noon on Friday of the darkness of the earthquake, the darkness that was over Jerusalem for 3 hours, and death. We're reminded of all those things this week. And today, Heavenly Father, we're reminded and celebrate Jesus is alive. He is risen. The tomb is empty. We shout hallelujah to You, Father. Glory to God. Thank You, Jesus. People across America and the Americas and the world are celebrating today the resurrected Christ, the empty tomb. And so, Father, I pray that Your will is done. I pray, Heavenly Father, that people, perhaps for the first time ever, are enlightened to the fact that Jesus is alive and I need to embrace Him as Savior and Lord. I pray, Heavenly Father, that You would call people unto Yourself today, whether they get to church or whether they didn't make it to church. You would redeem, You would set the captives free. Glorify Your name, Heavenly Father, today and always, we pray. Yes, Lord, as has been prayed this morning already, You know the names on our prayer focus. Lots of names, lots of issues. Death has come to our friends and families again this week, and sickness and difficulty and marital discord and just plain trouble. And so we lift that all up to You, Father, knowing that You are a God who knows this already and a God who loves us so much. You want to intervene. You want to rescue. You want to heal. You want to restore. And so we lift all these up to You today and say, thank You, Lord, for what You're going to do. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord, for everyone here today. We're not here by mistake. We're here to worship You. We're here to allow Your Spirit to speak to our hearts, to speak to our ears as we worship You. And so thank You for everybody here. Thank You for churches that are gathering all over our region and all over America, all over the world. Father, have Your own way amongst us. I know that we have come today perhaps in spite of celebration because the tomb is empty. We have come perhaps with some heaviness of spirit, some difficulty, some physical challenges, emotional strain, financial hardships, whatever they may be. And so we commit that all to You, Father. Touch, heal, restore, encourage, save, forgive, redeem, Father. Do what needs to be done to each of us here, I pray, to draw us closer to You, to bring glory to You. Guide us as we continue to celebrate and worship, I pray, in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Those of you that had a chance to be with us on Friday, remember that I ended with this phrase, and I said I wanted to start with this phrase this morning. Here it is. If there was no death, and particularly on Friday of Jesus, there would be no resurrection. Still with me? That's fairly easy to follow. And friends, let me just say and remind us again today, if there is no resurrection, then there's no hope either. There's no hope. But He is risen. He is alive. The tomb is empty because Jesus did raise from the dead. And so we come together to celebrate that fact today. He is alive. He is risen. I've been thinking that perhaps, maybe I've been guilty, and perhaps you have too, of been living from time to time like He's still in the grave. Friends, if you know Christ, if you believe in Him as Lord, you've trusted Him as Savior, there is reason to rejoice today and every day because the tomb is empty and Jesus is alive. There is reason to rejoice. And I know we have heaviness of heart from time to time. I know there's difficulty. I have seen and been part of the death and the hurt and the cancers and all the madness around us, just like you have. And I know there is heaviness of heart from time to time. But I also know that when we know Jesus and we recognize Him as Messiah and walk with Him as Lord, there is hope for tomorrow. Amen? We could be all gloom and doom and down and like the scribes and the Pharisees were, whoo, I'm glad He's gone, this Jesus, this clown from Nazareth. We could be like the 11 that were tucked away inside the upper room someplace, wondering what next. Or we can live as followers of Jesus Christ, as if the tomb were empty and He has been victorious over sin, death, and the grave. We can live with hope in view. Amen? We can if we want to. Without the death, there's no resurrection. Without the resurrection, there's no hope. And let me just say this before I go any further. Friends, if we haven't trusted Christ as Lord, confessed our sin, believed in what He's done for us is real, and received Him as Messiah, we still don't experience the hope that will be ours today and forever. We need to experience Jesus. We need to trust Him. We need to walk with Him. We need to believe in Him and receive Him as Lord. And we have a hope that is eternal. Regardless of what the devil or anybody else throws at us, we have a hope that is eternal in Jesus because the tomb is empty and He is resurrected from the dead. Hallelujah. Maybe I'm the only one that gets excited on Easter morning. But I'm thinking we're a little down today when we have something to celebrate. We could sound the alarm. Matter of fact, I got my props here. Brother, sound the alarm. I need to just go ahead and give that to a kid. He can blow. A kid will drive you mad with that thing. It is time to sound the alarm of celebration, friends. There is hope in Jesus. There is hope in the empty tomb. And it's time for us to embrace the power of the empty tomb and the resurrected Christ and the Holy Spirit of God and to walk in newness of life and in the freedom of the Spirit. It's time for Christians to walk like the tomb is empty. Matthew 28 has a wonderful story. If you've got your Bible, that's where I'm going to be this morning. We could pick any one of the Gospels and go over it this morning, but I love Matthew's account. And so if you've got your Bible, I'm in Matthew 28. If you don't, it'll be on the big screen. Now after the Sabbath, As the first day of the week began to dawn, that Sunday, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. Friends, let me just interject here. You know, we can walk through life like Mary did, both Marys did on Saturday. We can. Gloom and doom. No hope. What next? Or we can walk through life like there's a hope in Jesus because the tomb is empty. The ladies saw him die. They saw the blood. They saw the tomb. They saw the stone get rolled in front of the tomb. They were dejected, forlorn, saddened, and by and large without hope on Saturday. And that's probably how they came to the tomb on Sunday morning. But when they got there, Matthew said, "And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door, and he sat on the stone." I love that picture. His countenance, that's the angel, was like lightning, and his clothing as white as snow. And the guards, oh yes, remember, there are guards. Remember, when you read the gospel accounts of this whole story, you realize that the Sanhedrin, the Pharisees and the scribes, they said to Pilate, "And make sure you put a guard on that tomb, because we don't want them nasty disciples coming and swiping the body and going around telling everybody, now look what, he's raised from the dead." So there was in fact a guard. The tomb was sealed. And Matthew says the guards were still there. And the guards, when they felt and experienced the earthquake and they saw the brilliant light of the angel and the stone, all of a sudden the seal of Pilate meant nothing. The stone rolled away. And the Bible says, and the guard shook for fear of him, the angel, and became like dead men. But the angel answered and said to the women, "You know what? I just thought of something. I bet that angel got a kick out of them guards. Sniveling and triveling down there in the sand, wiggling about, moaning like dead men." And the Bible says, but the angel came to speak to the women. He had a word for the women that day. Mary Magdalene and Mary, the other Mary, that came to see about the body. The angel and said to the women, "Don't be afraid. For I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He's not here, for he is risen. As he said, come see the place where the Lord lay," the angel says to the women, "take a look. He was in there, but he not no more." The angel says, "Take a look. He is risen. Come see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly," the angel said, "and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead." Hallelujah. What a message to tell. What a message to proclaim. And the angel said, "And indeed, he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you." So they, that's the ladies, went out quickly from the tomb with fear and with great joy. Oh, he is risen. They could feel it. He's not there. I saw the grave close. I heard the angel. He said something about this. The angel told us now he is risen. And the Bible says the ladies left the tomb with fear and with great joy because he is alive. They knew it. They felt it. And they ran to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them. They're anxious to go tell the 12, the 11. He's alive. The tomb is empty. They're anxious to go with the message. And now they encountered Jesus. Have you encountered him, friends? Have you encountered the resurrected Jesus? Because until we encounter the resurrected Jesus, we still don't have any hope. Have you encountered Him? The ladies encountered Him that morning and believed. They encountered Him on that road back. They wanted to tell the disciples. They were running with haste to tell of the good news. And they encountered Jesus. Have you encountered Him, brothers and sisters, friends and neighbors? Because until we encounter the resurrected Jesus and are born again, we don't have any hope. And I want you to have hope both for today and for forever. You need to encounter Jesus just like the ladies did that day. You need to embrace and believe He is alive and I need Him as Lord and Savior. We need to encounter Jesus if we're ever going to have any hope and ever going to be with Him in glory. Amen? We need to encounter Jesus. The Bible says, behold, Jesus met them, saying, rejoice. What a greeting. Ever try it? Greet somebody by rejoice. But they were rejoicing in their spirit because the tomb was empty and Jesus was alive. That's how Christians should live today, rejoicing in our spirit because the tomb is empty and He is alive. He said, rejoice. So they came. Bible doesn't say this, but they had to have fallen prostrate at His feet. They held Him by the feet and worshiped Him. And Jesus said to them, don't be afraid. Go and tell my brethren to go to Galilee, and there they will see me. The Bible says, while the ladies were en route to tell the disciples, something else was happening. Some of the guard, don't know how many there were, but there was guards. Don't know how many went to the chief priests, but some of the guard came into Jerusalem and they reported to the chief priests all the things that had happened. All of them. Can you envision? You got to work with me here, friends. You got to wake up. This is resurrection morning. It is time to wake up. Can you imagine for a moment what the guards might have said to the Pharisees? Think about it for a moment. They were put there to protect that nobody stole Him, to protect that the tomb was untouched, and now the tomb is empty and they are responsible, and they're going to report in, as it were, to the scribes and Pharisees and say, yeah, but I don't know. I can't believe we fell asleep, but He's gone, sure enough. The Bible says, and some of the guards came into the city and reported to the chief priests all the things. I'm sure they told the Pharisees there was an earthquake. Oh man, you should have seen it. There's nothing we could do about it. There was an angel. There might have been a million, but there was one for sure. We couldn't do nothing about him either. But they told all the things that had happened. How can these Pharisees not believe? How can we not? You say, yeah, but Jim, I do believe. Have you embraced the resurrected Jesus? Have you embraced the cross where the blood was shed for our sin? Have you confessed your sin and embraced Jesus Christ as Lord? I can stand here all day long and say, what is the matter with those people, those Pharisees, those scribes? They had the evidence. They knew it to be true and ignored it. And yet for years, I might have done the same thing. For years, we might have done the same thing, disregarded the truth of the resurrected Jesus. The Bible goes on to say, after they told them all these things, when they had assembled, with the elders and consulted together. The elders, that's the they, gave a large sum of money to the soldiers, saying, tell them, anybody that asks, his disciples came at night and stole him away while he slept. Now, if you're a reasonable guard, we got some military folks here too. Thank you, by the way, for your service, those of you that are current and past. But if you're a reasonable guard, and the guy just, the tomb went empty on your watch, you got a problem. And now they're supposed to tell people, go out in public and tell them his scared fraidy cat, little old disciples came and stole him while you were supposed to be on guard and perhaps even sleeping. Go tell them that. I don't know what the guard thought, but I think they probably thought this guy, these people have gone mad. But they did it. They took the money. And the Bible says, and if this comes to the governor's ears, he will appease them and we will appease him and make you secure. So they took that money and they did as they were instructed. And this saying that the guards fell asleep, the disciples slipped in unawares, moved a 1,000-pound stone, stole out the body while we were taking a little siesta. And Matthew writes, and this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. I need to move on. This day just excites me so that I can hardly contain myself. Because this is a big deal, friends, that the tomb is empty. It's a big deal that God loved us so much He sent His Son to die on the cross. But He didn't stay dead. He rose from the grave in 3 days. And I get excited about the fact that God loved me in my sin and loved humanity so much that He would do that. He would send His Son to die and raise Him up again so that we would believe in Him and trust Him and be with Him forever. But we've got to confess our sins, believe in Him, and receive Christ as Lord to be born again and be with Him forever. And I get excited when I think of the possibilities we can live with Jesus forever because the tomb is empty, because the shed blood on the cross. I get excited about that. And I could go on a good long time, and I got notes out here enough to go on for a good long time. But our time is getting away, so I'll try to begin to wrap it up. But I do want you to think about this. What if there was no resurrection? Paul said we would be of all men most miserable if there was no resurrection. What if we were part of the people that bought into the story that the soldiers told? Disciples stole him, buried him someplace else, I guess. What if we bought into that? Then what hope would we have? In Revelation 1, 17 and 18, Jesus, after about 60 years later, John has been proclaiming the resurrected Christ all these years, and John is now on the Isle of Patmos. He's being punished by Rome, and he's on the Isle of Patmos, and Jesus shows up. And I just want to refer to these two verses for one reason. I'll get to that. Here's what the Bible says. And when I saw him, that's John, I fell at his feet, that's Jesus, as dead. But he laid his right hand on me, saying to me, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am he who lives and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. You see, friends, he didn't stay in the tomb. He visited John again sometime later, and he said, I am the one. Get the trumpet ready, brother. We're going to need that again. I am the one that was dead and am alive forevermore. And he said, I have the keys of Hades and death. Give me a shout with that bad boy. He's almost as good as the kids now. That's something to celebrate. Jesus said, I am he who lives and was dead. That's something to celebrate. Now let me give you a couple of stories to close, to wrap up here this morning. I read Dr. Erwin Lutzer's book, 1 Minute After You Die, a week ago when I had some time off. And I was thinking about this whole death thing again. Not that I don't get a chance to every now and then. Anyway. But I was thinking about, what if I were going through life and I really didn't know the Lord. I mean, I know about Him. I can say, yeah, I believe in Him. But the devil says that. James reminds us. What if I'm going through life here and I really haven't surrendered my life to Jesus Christ? I really haven't subscribed to this whole empty tomb thing, this whole resurrection, this whole blood thing. What if I haven't really embraced the cross and embraced Christ as Lord? Then if that is the case, I am going through life with no hope. And I don't want to go through life with no hope, and I don't want you to either. I don't want anybody to in our families or in our communities. And so I'm reminded again as I'm reading this book the other day. Dr. Lutzer tells of a couple folks. Here's story number one. It was about a Reverend A.D. Sanborn. He was right down here in Iowa. Pastor of a church right here in Iowa. True story. Judson Palmer, who preceded this Reverend Sanborn, said that Reverend Sanborn told me the story and told me about this family, and he was called upon one morning to a Christian woman who was seriously ill and dying. The new Reverend Sanborn into town, into the church, called upon this person. She was young, she was a believer, but she was dying, sure enough. And when he got there, she was kind of almost in a sitting position, Dr. Lutzer writes, looking off into the distance someplace, propped up with pillows. And the pastor and some folks are standing around, wondering when the end will come. And all of a sudden she whispers, now just as soon as they open the gate, I'm going to go in. And she sank back into her pillows. And a moment later, Reverend Sanborn recalls, she whispers again as she musters up just enough strength. She says, they've let many go in ahead of me. They've opened up the gate and let many go in ahead of me. But soon I will go in too. And she slumped back in her pillow. And a third time, moments later, she spoke again. She said, they've let Grandpa go in ahead of me. But when they open the gate the next time, I'm going to go in. She never said another word. Nobody said a word to her. She seemed to just be visualizing that distant city. Reverend Sanborn left to go attend to other pastoral duties. Later that day, the pastor was notified that the lady had passed away. Out of curiosity, Reverend Sanborn went back to the family in preparation of the funeral, but also out of curiosity, asked the family, what is up with and who is Minnie and Grandpa? And they said, well, Minnie was a little girl, lived right here beside us for many years, then moved to New York. And Grandpa, well, he was that old fella that lived beside us, not really our grandpa, but we called him Grandpa. He used to live here too, and he moved away. And Reverend Sanborn thought, you got to be kidding me, I got to keep investigating this. Have you got an address for him? And he wrote to these families and inquired about Minnie and Grandpa. And lo and behold, on September 16th, the very same day that this lady was teetering between earth and heaven, the very same day Minnie and Grandpa died too, in the morning on September 16th, same day she did. I tell you this story, recall it, and pass it on from Dr. Lutzer's book because of the empty tomb, friends, that kind of stuff is real. We're going to close our eyes in death someday. And if we have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ and made Him Lord of our life, we're going to be saying just like that lady, open the gate, I'm coming in next. When we know Jesus. But if we never get to know Him on this side of glory, we all got about so much time. You don't know and I don't know how much I got or you got. We all got about so much. But if we don't make ready, we're not going to see those gates open up. We're not going to be whispering, the next time I'm going in. Because Jesus is the way in, and we never subscribed to, we never embraced, we never believed in, we never received Jesus. I tell you these stories because it's real. Because it's true. You say, yeah, Jim, but I'm leaning towards these atheistic tendencies. I ain't sure any of it's real. Or you might be saying, yeah, but I'm not sure it's relevant to me. Brothers and sisters, if you are a human being, the empty tomb is relevant to you. The last story I'm going to share, then we're going to close. Also from Dr. Lutzer's book. On November 8, 1994, Pastor Scott Willis and his wife Janet were traveling with their six children in a van on Highway I-94 near Milwaukee. While they're traveling this road, I've been on 94 between Madison and Milwaukee. Some of y'all have been too. There was a truck right in front of them, and this truck lost off a piece of metal. Didn't say what it was, but it was a large enough piece of metal. It fell off the truck. They're careening down the highway. The metal falls off the truck. Pastor Scott didn't have time to weave. It was right there. He had to take the van right over the top of it, and the piece lodged itself near the end of the van, puncturing the gas tank, exploding the van, and burning their five children on the spot. Janet and Scott bailed out, got their youngest Benjamin out, who would also die in a Milwaukee hospital of burns a short time later. They lost all six of them in a moment. And as Scott, Dr. Lutzer wrote, as Scott and Janet were able to get out of the vehicle, sustaining burns from which they would eventually recover, standing there watching their children die in that fire, Scott looked at Janet and said, this is the moment for which we have been prepared. You see, they believed in the empty tomb. They believe in the hope of heaven. They believe in the cross at Calvary. And they receive Christ as Lord and Savior of their lives, and they're living for Him, and they know one day, because of death, there'll be a resurrection. Because there was a resurrection, there is hope. And I just want to ask you today, friends, do you believe? Do you believe that the tomb is empty? Do you believe that He really died on that cross for us, for you, for me, for us, for humanity? Black, white, rich, poor, it don't matter. He died for us. Sinners. Because that's what we've been. He died for us. Do you believe it? Have you received Him as Lord? And when you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, can you say like David, I will fear no evil because He's with me? Do you believe in the empty tomb? Is that where our hope lies? Because if our hope doesn't lie in Jesus, we don't have any long-term hope. If our hope is just in our stuff, in our titles, or how much money I make, or how good I've been, our hope isn't going to hold up on Judgment Day. Our hope needs to be in Jesus. Jess, our last song is on page 220. And while we're singing that, friends, I just want to ask you. I just want to ask you one more time. Do you know that you know that today is your last day? You're going to be in glory. You're going to whisper like that lady on her deathbed that Reverend Sanborn wrote about. The next time they open the gates, I'm going to go in because of Jesus. Do you know that you know because you have received Jesus Christ as Lord and are living for Him? Without holiness, nobody will see God. The Bible says, are we living for Jesus? Are we living like He's alive or still in the tomb? If you're wondering about your eternal destination, Rich will pray with you today. I'll pray with you. Or stand right where you're at and cry out to Jesus and say, forgive me of my sin, O God. I believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, the Messiah. I believe He raised from the dead. I believe He is the Savior of the world and I need Him. Come into my heart, come into my life, Lord Jesus, and save me, forgive me, and redeem me and set me free. If you've never done it, friends, today is the day. Let's stand and sing. If you need help with it, Richard and I will help with you. We'll pray with you. But if you've never done it, today is the day. Today is the day of salvation. Get right with Him today before it is too late. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Almighty God, we thank You for this day that we can celebrate. Jesus, we thank You for going to the cross and dying for our sin. We recognize that it's Your blood and Your blood alone that atones for our sin. We recognize, Heavenly Father, that out of Your great love for us and Your wanting, Your desiring to redeem us, You sent Your one and only Son. And we praise You for that this morning. We thank You for the cross, but we rejoice in the empty tomb because Jesus is alive. We rejoice this morning because Jesus died for us. As sin-filled as we have been, He died for us. No matter what our past was, He died for us. And so, Father, we praise You for that this morning. And we just thank You that we can go forward in with the hope of heaven, with the hope of the resurrection of the dead, with the hope that we will be with You forever because the tomb is empty. And so, Father, I just pray that we would get right. We would make right with You today. The Bible says, for by grace are we saved through faith. It is not of ourselves. And so, Father, I pray that we would trust You, receive Christ as Lord, repent of sin, and walk in newness of life, and have the hope that is eternal. Oh, thank You, Lord, for that hope that we have. Thank You for everyone here. Go with them today, Father. Help them to have a great resurrection day. Help them to have a new spring in their step because of the hope of heaven through Jesus Christ our Lord. I pray in His precious and holy name. Amen.